as Paul makes this statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where he says, faith, hope, and love remain. Okay? If they remain, it means that they continue to be present. Like those of you that remained in here, right, you continue to be present. And so faith, hope, and love remain. These are things that they do not go away. Faith, hope, and love are actually eternal things, whereas many of the other gifts that God gives us are for this life here on earth. But it all starts with faith, and that's what we looked at last week. Faith is believing in Jesus, but it's also trusting in Jesus. And faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing the word of God. Okay, this is how we grow in our faith, that hearing the word of God means paying attention to, giving attention to the word of God. This builds up our faith, but hope, while it's very closely related, and sometimes I think we kind of blur the line between faith and hope. We kind of refer to them in ways that we don't know what we mean. We think they're kind of the same, but I want to tell you that hope comes in a different way. Okay, faith comes by hearing the word of God. Hope comes a different way. Hope actually comes by experience. Okay, hope comes by experience. I'm gonna tell you why it comes by experience. Paul told us, he said, tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. See, it's the things that we go through. It's the experiences that we have in our life that build up hope. Faith just comes by hearing the word of God. You hear the word of God, you believe it, you trust it, your faith is built up. Hope takes a little bit of a process because it takes going through some things in your life. So you can look at it like this. Faith is the accepting of the gift of the promise, right? Here's the promise. I accept that. I receive that. Hope is the expecting the promise to be fulfilled. Okay, so faith is accepting, hope is expecting. Okay, so it's one of these things where it's to believe and trust in something is great, but it's a whole different thing to hope that it'll happen. Hope is critical to our faith. Have you ever been in a place, maybe in your Christian walk, for those of you who are born again, have you been in a place where you still believe? Right? You've never lost faith. You've never lost that you believe in Jesus and that you trust in Jesus, but you are in a place where you feel hopeless, right? I mean, you can get in that place. That is a possible thing because they're two separate things. You can still have faith. And I think this is where a lot of people find themselves, where they still have faith, but they've just lost some hope. See, hope is what keeps us going, right? So when we lose hope, we tend to stop moving forward. And we can still be sitting there with faith. We can still be sitting there with a belief that Jesus died for our sins, that he rose from the dead, that he's coming back. We can have that faith, but be in a place where we don't have hope and we're not able to move forward. But I want to look at what does the Bible mean by hope? Because like everything else, you know, the biblical view of hope is much different than the worldly view of hope. Just like the biblical view of faith was different than the worldly view of faith. Biblical hope is not just a wish, right? Biblical hope is not just a wish. We sometimes do that where we say, I wish I would get this. I wish that this would happen. And a lot of times what we're actually meaning is, I hope, right? Because a lot of times we're looking at this as something that God's got to work in, right? Wishes are for genies. Hope is for God. I don't know about you, but I'd much rather hope in God than trust in a genie, right? There's this one time, you know, saw this story where a genie appeared and was like, all right, you have two wishes. What's your first wish? And the guy said, I wish I was rich. And he said, all right, rich, what's your next wish? Right? Wishes are for genies. Hope is for God. My trust is in the Lord. Right, my faith is in the Lord, my belief is in him, so that's where I want my hope to also be, is that the one who I have faith in is the one that I'm going to hope in to work on my behalf. Hope is this, it's anticipating a future that's better than the present. Romans 8:28. Neva, what's Romans 8:28? That's Neva's favorite verse, right? God works all things for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose and his, and his will. We accept this promise by faith, right? So we have this promise that God will work all things for our good. That's a promise, right? We accept that by faith. How many of you guys accept that today? I hope you do. You accept it by faith. But then do we hope for it? Right? Is it just something we believe he can do? Or is it something that we're hoping he will do? Is it something we're expecting him to actually do in our lives? I want to tell you what this word hope actually means. In the Hebrew, in the Old Testament language, there are actually two words for hope. The first one is yakal, and it means to wait for. To wait for. This is the word that they use in the story, the story of Noah's Ark. When, if you remember, the waters flooded the earth. Noah is in the ark with his family, with these animals, and he waited for the waters to recede, right? He waited for the waters to recede. That's the word yakal. It's the word hope, right? The word tells us he waited. But when you look at it in the Hebrew, he actually was hoping that the waters would recede. He was waiting on the Lord, waiting on the Lord to let the earth go through the process of the waters receding. The other word is kava. And this word's interesting because it also means to, specifically, it means the tension on a cord when it's pulled tight. Okay, so if my mom had one end of a rope and I had the other and we pulled it tight, that tension on the rope, that is the word kava. It's the feeling of tension and expectation as you wait for something to happen. Isn't that kind of what waiting is like? Isn't it pretty tense sometimes? Isn't it like, man, I can't wait until it breaks loose, or I'm going to snap, one or the other, right? I mean, that's kind of how we are when it comes to waiting on things. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, wrote about the fact that God is like a farmer, right? God plants a vine and he waits, or kavaz, for good grapes to grow. We have to wait. Anybody ever planted something and like, just stood there and like, I believe it's going to grow. I believe it's going to grow. And then it just grew? No, you have to wait. You can believe that seed's going to produce something, but then you have to wait. You have to give it some time. In the book of Micah, the prophet wrote that farmers wait for morning dew to give moisture to the land. They know it's going to happen, but if you go out there right now and you're like, I believe that the morning dew will come, listen, you're still going to have to wait. When's it going to come? In the morning, not right now. So see, you can have faith, but you also have to have hope. You have to have this expectation that God is going to work and do something. Hope is about waiting for expectations. Waiting for what? Isaiah chapter 8, verse 17, he says, I will wait on the Lord who hides his face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in him. Church, this is what we wait for. We wait for God. We wait for God. In faith, we believe and trust in Christ. In hope, we wait for him. In faith, we accept. In hope, we expect. If a person tells you that they're going to come over, right, and they're going to help you with the project, I'm going to come over, you know what, I'll come over, Dylan, and I'll help you build a shed, all right? If I'm going to come over and help you build a shed, right, you're going to have faith that I will show up, right? He's going to believe me, he's going to trust me and be like, all right, Tim said he's got to go home and eat lunch and take a nap, and so he'll be here at like 3, right? So I expect that he'll be here. I believe it. I trust him because of what he said. And he can get the saw ready. He can get the lumber ready. He can get the drill and the screws ready. He can get all that stuff ready. Does that mean that he's done? No, he's still going to have to wait unless he is going to do it by himself. But if he wants my help, he's going to have to wait until 3, until I show up. He's going to have to kava. He's going to have to wait, and it might be tense because if he's not going to take a nap, he's going to be done eating lunch at 12:30. I'm not coming till 3. And he's going to be like, man, what time is it? Is he here yet? And like probably texting me, but like, dude, are you still coming? And I'm going to be sleeping, so I'm not going to answer. And he's going to be tense. He's going to be like that rope that's pulled tight, right? But he's going to have to wait. He can be prepared all he wants. He can have all the faith that he wants, but he's still going to have to wait. Now, I don't know about you, but I feel confident in saying that my faith is unwavering. Since I've come to the Lord, I don't remember a time where I did not believe. I don't even remember a time where I did not trust, okay? Now, I say that, take that with a grain of salt. There are probably some instances where I tried to do things on my own, but as I study this, I really think that has more to do with that I didn't want to wait than that I trusted. I still trusted that he will do it, that he will come through, but a lot of times because I don't want to wait, I move forward too quickly. I truly believe in my heart that Jesus is who he says he is. Do you? I believe that he did die on a cross to save me from my sins. I believe that he did rise from the dead to give me new life in him. I do believe that he is coming back for his church. I believe all those things. I genuinely have zero doubt in any of those things. Where I sometimes struggle is with hope. Sometimes struggle with hope because I don't like to wait. I don't like to wait. I do get, I'm the pulled cord when I'm waiting for more than like 5 minutes. The other day I went to give blood and I had the 2 o'clock appointment. I do this specifically because I want to be first. It's from 2 to 6. I schedule the 2 o'clock appointment because I want to get in there and I give blood in like 10 minutes tops. I'm done. I can be back home in like 15 minutes if they check me right in. And I get there, and there's other people in front of me. There's somebody already giving blood. There's 2 people in front of me. One of them doesn't have an appointment. One has a 2:15 appointment. And yet they all get to go before me, and I'm sitting in that chair, pulled tight, tense, about to snap. I'm telling you, because I'm like, I scheduled this appointment so I could already be home by now. And now I gotta wait on everybody. And I was really probably way more worked up than what a person should be. And that's the reason why, is because I don't like to wait. I'm being honest with you, sharing one of my character flaws with you guys. But I get the same way with the Lord sometimes. Like, Lord, I thought you were going to do this. Your word says that you will. And I get a little bit worked up and a little bit irritated with him because I don't want to wait. But can I tell you that waiting is always worth the wait? Always worth the wait. One of my favorite quotes, I don't even know where I got this. Dave Cornwell actually attributes this quote to me, so I don't know if I made it up, but I heard it from somebody else. But I've said before that the only thing worse than waiting on the Lord is wishing that. Right? The only thing worse than waiting on him is wishing that you had. Taking things into your own hands, going down the wrong road and wishing that you had just waited for what he has in store for you. See, when we talk about waiting on the Lord, we have to come to the realization that our plan is not better. And maybe you guys have some pretty good plans, right? Like you like to tell God what your plans are. It's like God is an architect. And you mow grass for a living and you want to tell God how he should build the house, you know, on the property that you're mowing the grass for, right? That's kind of what it's like when we tell God our plans. It's like, but God, I have this great idea. It would look amazing. And he's like, structurally, that would never hold up, right? He's looking at your plan and he's like, dude, he's like, you got to use glue over there too. Like you can't, it's not just about screwing it all together. Like, you think you got a good idea, but listen, my way is better. My methods are better. It's going to hold up long term. Just wait and trust the process. You know, it may bear good fruit initially, your plan. How many of you guys have taken things into your own hands when you got tired of waiting on God, and at first it looked really good, right? You're like, See, I do know what I'm talking about. I do have good ideas, God. I got good ideas too, right? It's not just you. Look at what I have done. It's working out good for me. What's getting ready to happen? Crash. Something's going to happen. You're going to crash and burn. Something's going to go wrong. Something's going to start to fall apart. Your plan could look good initially, but it won't eternally unless you are willing to wait on the Lord. This word wait is in the Psalms over 40 times. There's 150 Psalms, and the word wait is in there over 40 times. Psalm 130 says, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for the Lord is there in mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits. My soul waits. The psalmist is saying, my mind, my will, my emotions, they're waiting. They're waiting on the Lord. They're anticipating that what the Lord has for me in the future is better than what I have going on right now in the present. You know, that's our biggest struggle with hope. Is getting our mind, our will, and our emotions to wait. Right? Our mind, our will, and our emotions to wait. Most of the body, we can physically wait. Most of the time, spiritually, we can wait, but it's within our own mind, within our own feelings. It's so hard to wait. Why? Because I want it, and I want it now. I want it, and I want it this way. I feel that it would be better if you did it right now. I want to feel better. I think this. And if we could just get those things, just get our soul to wait on the Lord, it'll be worth it. How do we do this? The psalmist tells us, he says, in his word I do hope. Right? So he has faith in the word. He has this belief and this trust in what God says. And because of that, he will wait for it to happen. I believe God's word, so I will wait for it. You know, hope has a lot more to it than positive thinking. Right? That's what the world would teach. The world would teach you just have to think positive. And I'm disagreeing with that. I'm just telling you that hope is deeper than positive thinking. It's not just thinking positive thoughts, because, you know, if I really like rabbits, I could just think about rabbits and I could get in a good mood, right? If I'm like, oh, look at the cute little bunny. Go drive down on that end of town over there where there's all the wild rabbits. You guys know what I'm talking about? By Vicky's old house. Rabbits everywhere. And as you drive around, you're like, oh, look, there's four over there. There's three over there. It's like, what in the world is going on? You can drive around there if you like rabbits. You can, right? Some of you are thinking about eating them. I'm just saying. They are wild, as far as I know. I mean, somebody maybe pets them, but you can think about good things. You can think about things that are positive, but they don't actually give you hope. Hope is more than good thoughts. It's more than good vibes, whatever in the world that demonically means. Biblical hope is different than optimism. See, optimism, again, it's not that it's a bad thing, but I want to tell you, biblical hope is bigger than optimism, because optimism is choosing to see in any situation how things could work out for the best. But I want to tell you that biblical hope is not based on your circumstances. See, optimism is. Optimism is, my circumstances could change from this to this, and then I would feel better. But hope isn't based on circumstances. Hope is people that are trusting in the Lord, that his ways are better, that his word is true, that he is working, that you will see what he says come to fruition. And a lot of the people in the Bible, these people that we see, these stories of hope, there's never one of them that the word gives us any indication that they believe things that they believe circumstances will change. It comes back to they all trust in the Lord. Look at Joseph and all the stuff Joseph went through. Do you ever see Joseph saying, my circumstances will get better? No, he never says that. He trusts in the Lord. It all comes back to his trust in the Lord. He knows that the Lord will work in my favor. And when the Lord works, ultimately things will be better. He relied on the dreams. He relied on the things that God had spoken to him. He knew that those God dreams would never die. He knew that those God dreams would come to pass. We see Hosea. Hosea lived in a dark time where Israel was being oppressed by foreign empires, but he chose hope. This is what he said. He said, God can turn this valley of trouble into a door of hope, like the day with it that Israel came up from the land of Egypt. You think about the Israelites when they were in Egypt. You know what those people did not have? Hope. They did not have hope. As a matter of fact, for the most part, they could have cared less to leave. They were lacking hope. It took Moses, who had hope, to come and set the captives free. And Hosea's looking back on this and saying, look at how dark that was. That there was no hope for the whole nation, for millions of people. And yet, look at what God did. That God took this valley of trouble and he made a door of hope through Moses. God's past faithfulness motivates hope for the future. You can look forward by looking backward, trusting nothing but God's character. Now listen, you can look forward or go forward by looking backward when you're trusting on God's character. Here's the thing, the Bible tells us not to look backwards. You know what that's talking about? You don't look backwards on your old life. You don't look backwards on what could have been, what might have been, what you did have, what you gave up. You quit looking back to the things that you have given up. But here, this is different. When it comes to the things of the Lord, we do look back. Look through the New Testament and see how many references there are to the old. Look at how many times Jesus quoted things from the prophets and things from Moses and all these things. He quoted these things because we look backward at the things that God has done because it proves his character and it motivates our hope for the future. Psalm 39:7, and now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Guys, if your hope is in Christ, you can wait with an expectation. You can truly wait with an expectation, like, I know something has got to give. I know something has got to give because I know that God never fails. I know that he doesn't fail. I know that he's true to his word. I know that he always comes through. I know that he's working, right? I know that he's making a way. Hope in Jesus is a living hope, guys. Living hope. Not a dead hope, a living hope. That means it's still working, it's still moving, it's still active, it's still doing things even in your life. It's a living hope. 1 Peter 1:3 said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Listen, the resurrection of Jesus Christ opened up a living hope for God's people. Opened up a living hope. We can be born again, made new. Hallelujah. That's an amazing thing. I don't know if you really understand that, but you're not who you once were in Christ. Yeah, you have some of the same personality traits. If you were funny before, you're probably funny after, but instead of telling dirty jokes, you can tell dad jokes. Right? Two hats were on a rack, and one said to the other, I'll stay here, you go on ahead. What do you call a woman with one leg shorter than the other? Eileen. See, I'm full of them. Now, I used to be a dirty joke teller before Christ. But praise God, I'm not even saying that I'm funny. I guess I shouldn't say I was funny and I'm still funny, but I told jokes and I still tell jokes. But man, when God makes you new, you're not who you once were. Your motives change, your heart changes, the things that you focus on changes. Why? Because he lives. Guys, it's because Jesus lives, and because he lives, we can live with a great expectation. Living hope, it's anchored in the past because it ties back to the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. But it also, this living hope continues in the present because, hallelujah, today Jesus is alive. Amen? It continues throughout the future because Jesus promises us eternal life to all who believe in him. Right? This is where hope is anchored. It's to Jesus, to the resurrection, to the coming day where he returns for his bride. Living hope. You know what something that's living does is it gives life to others. Something that's living gives life to others. This is a living hope that is in Christ Jesus. It'll give life to you. And when you have a living hope, you will be able to help give life to others. Hope keeps us alive. You guys realize that? Hope keeps us alive. When we see stories of people who have taken their own life or given up and they're just laying around and not doing anything, what has happened? Hope is gone. It doesn't always mean that faith is gone. But hope is gone. You've got to have hope because hope is what keeps us alive. It's what keeps us going forward. You guys know we have an inheritance in heaven? The word tells us it's one that's incorruptible. It's one that is undefiled. It's one that does not fade away. It's secure. It is there for you right now. Colossians 1:27 says, "To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is this, Christ in you, the hope of glory." Man, if you're born again, you have the Spirit of the living God inside you. Somebody say amen. I mean, you have the Spirit of the living God inside you. This is the hope of glory, the fulfillment of God's promise to restore us. It's the fulfillment of the promise that he who began a good work in you will complete it. Until when? Till the day of Christ Jesus, till the day he returns. God won't quit working on you. He won't quit restoring you. He won't quit perfecting you until the day that Jesus comes, because on that day, it will be fully done, completed. Hallelujah. Think how much better we're going to get along when we're all perfect. It's going to be great. There'll be no disagreements, no bickering. Jesus will tell us what color the carpet should be. I'll tell you what he won't say, teal. Listen, all jokes aside, teal was great in 1997, right? I had the teal Hornets coat in 1997, all right? Teal was cool back then. It's not cool now, okay? When we get new carpet one day, we're not just going to get new teal carpet. I'm sure of that. We'll have a committee to decide, but basically I'll just ask Jesus and we'll do what he says. All right? So, we have this hope, this fulfillment of the promise to restore us. I want to tell you the hope of glory. When we think about the hope of glory, do you guys know the hope of glory is based on a person? The hope of glory is based on the risen Lord. That's it. It's based on Jesus who overcame death. And I want to tell you that the hope of glory is not just for us. It's not just for humans, but God has a plan for the entire world. You guys know that? Romans 8:21. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Hallelujah. One day this earth is going to be purged with fire, is what the Lord tells us. It's going to be purged with fire. The new Jerusalem's going to descend upon this earth. That's a false line of thinking that we have, that we're going to go to heaven. Heaven's going to come to earth. The new Jerusalem's going to descend upon the earth. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be amazing. It's a hope for all of humanity and for the world itself to be rescued, redeemed, restored. Hallelujah. It's going to be amazing. Biblical hope is not based on optimism that's based on odds. It's a choice to wait for God to bring about a future that's as surprising as a crucified man raising from the dead. Think about that. That's what we hope for. We hope for God to bring about this future that's just as surprising as the fact that a Savior came and died on a cross and rose from the dead. Amen? Christian hope looks back to the risen Lord to look forward, so we wait. Romans 15:13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Listen, this is how we abound in hope. First, he gives us joy. He gives us peace. Now we got to have the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how you abound in hope, the hope of God. Jesus is the giver of hope, but he's also the object of hope. He's the source. He's the giver. This reminds us that everything starts with God, but as he fills us up with that joy, fills us up with that peace in believing, he tells us that the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy. Well, you have righteousness upon believing. When you believe that Jesus is Lord, you're made right with God, and then he fills you with joy and peace. It's from this that we can hope. It's from this that the Holy Spirit can give us the power to abound in hope. When you think about abounding, this doesn't just mean that we have a little bit of hope. It doesn't mean just a little bit of hope. It means hope to overflowing. It means more than enough. It means leftover hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hebrews 6:19, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil. Our soul, again, our mind, will, and emotions, they're constantly in and out of storms. Anybody else experience this, or is it just me? You're constantly in and out of a storm in your mind, in your wants and desires, in your feelings, your emotions. As soon as one gets over, another one's coming, right? Look at the forecast right now, right? Good luck getting a clean day. You'll get a clear day, but it's going to have 20 to 30% chance of rain where you can't do anything anyway just in case it's going to rain, okay? And sometimes that's what our life may feel like in our soul. It's like even on a good day, it's a cloudy day, right? Even on a good day, there's a chance of rain, and I got to get through this. There's always another wave coming. You know, when we think about being stuck out in a storm and being in a ship or a boat, you know, if all the hope we have is just to simply ride out the waves, if that's it, if we're just gonna ride out the waves, sooner or later they'll pass, here's what happens. The soul is moved back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Who knows where it's gonna land? Who knows where you're going to end up? The soul needs an anchor. This is what the writer of Hebrews is telling us. The soul needs an anchor. When you consider what an anchor is, when you are in a boat, an anchor is a weight attached to a rope that you drop overboard, and what does it do? It keeps the boat from moving with the current. If a ship's not properly anchored, it doesn't have much hope of riding out a violent storm. It's going to get tossed to and fro. It's going to end up who knows where. This anchor refers to hope that is generated by faith in Christ, and this enables the believer to stand firm in the face of temptation, in the face of trials, in the face of storms. This anchor of hope, it's sure. If you put it down, it will hold. Anybody ever been in a boat where you put an anchor down and you're like, I'm not sure if that caught, right? I'm not sure if that grabbed. It seems like we're still moving. And it's like until it grabs, until it holds on to something, you might keep moving. But here's the thing is that the word tells us that hope is an anchor that is sure. Hope is an anchor that is steadfast. Hope is an anchor that does grab a hold. It is strong enough. It will keep you steady. It's steadfast. This actually means that it's more than firm. It means that it's steadily directed. And if hope is steadily directed, it's because of this, because it points to Jesus always. At all times, hope points to Jesus. Always. 100% of the time, it does not matter how high the waves get. Hope points to Jesus. It does not matter how hard it crashes and beats on the side of the boat. Hope still points to Jesus. It doesn't even matter how much damage the storm may cause to your life. Hope still points to Jesus. It's steadfast. It's steadily directed. The anchor of our hope is rooted in Christ. It tells us that He is the one behind the veil. You got to look at some symbolism here, but when you think about being behind the veil, in the Old Testament, the high priest was the only one who went behind the veil. When this was written, the veil of the temple had been torn to give us access already. But yet the writer chooses to say that this takes us behind the veil. What he's trying to do here is he's trying to get the Hebrews to understand that Jesus is the high priest. He's the one who gives you access to the throne of grace. It's only by him. It's only through him. Would you stand with me this morning? You know, it's Jesus who works all things for good. It's Jesus who intercedes for you in heaven. Right? It's Jesus even who orders the angels to go into action to fight for your case in the heavenlies, in the spiritual realm. It's all Jesus. That's why our hope ties to him. It's anchored to him. If you would bow your heads and close your eyes. There's a few things the Lord laid on my heart as I was preparing this. Some specific things that I believe there's somebody in this place that you're dealing with some of these things in regards to your hope. We're just going to give the Lord a moment to work in our lives. Some of you are waiting on some growth. Some of you have been, you've been planting, you've been working, you've been preparing, you've been getting ready. You have all the faith. You have the belief. You have the trust. But you're waiting on the growth. You're waiting on that hope where you can have that expectation that the growth is going to come, that God is going to move. You've been planting, but you're waiting for that good fruit. I believe that this morning is going to be the moment that you're going to receive the hope that you need to be steadfast, to keep pushing forward, to look at God's promises and say, I'm expecting this to happen. I'm expecting it to take place. Others are in need of a refreshing. Like waiting for the morning dew to come and bring moisture to the land. Some of you feel kind of dried up. It's like the sun has took too much away from you. You've been out in the sun and you're just withered. You need some reviving in your life, in your spiritual walk today. Your hope is waning. It's kind of in and out. Today, I believe you can receive this refreshing from the Lord like that morning dew on the grass. It's going to be soothing. It's going to be revitalizing. It's going to be energizing. Some of you are in a place where you feel kind of overwhelmed. You feel kind of overwhelmed like Noah on the ark when he would look around and as far as he could see to the left, to the right, in front of him, behind him, all he could see is water. And he had to wait, and he had to wait, and he had to wait for the waters to recede. I believe that this morning you can find relief from that overwhelming feeling by having hope that is anchored in the waves. Hope that is anchored in the Lord. That He'll give you peace. He'll give you joy for the season that you are in. Noah didn't get a plug pulled where automatically it drained out. He was just able to be steadfast in hope and wait it out. If that's you this morning, I believe you can receive that. And for the last group, I think some of you are a little bit tense this morning. You're kind of in that situation like I described where I was, where I was pulled tight, I was stressed, I was tense, I was about to snap, and that might be where you're at, like that cord that's pulled tight. But I want to tell you that when you get pulled tight like that, if you have hope in the Lord, you know that it's only a matter of time before something's going to break through. It's only a matter of time before the Lord's going to break through and something is going to change and you're going to have relief. But I believe that even with peace and joy of the Holy Spirit, that you can have relief from that today, even while you wait. We hope in Jesus. We anticipate a future that is better than our present. Wait on the Lord. If He said it, it will come to pass because He is faithful. He is good. He is God. So, Father, right now, I just lift up each and every person in this place, those watching online. Father, you know if they're in need of growth or refreshing, or if they are overwhelmed, or if they are tense. You know exactly what their needs are. And as right now, as they trust in you, as they surrender their hearts to you, Holy Spirit, we ask you to move. We ask you to move on behalf of each and every person in this place that they would receive the peace and joy of the Spirit of God. We ask that they would receive this ability to have an expectation for you to move, that you would give them eyes to see, give them ears to hear what the Spirit is speaking, that their anchor is in Jesus Christ. There is no thing that can come against them, that can consume them, that can take them over, that can defeat them, because they are victorious in Christ. That they are overcomers in Christ. That all of the spiritual blessings that there are theirs in Christ. That they have an inheritance waiting in heaven that is incorruptible, that's untouchable, that's unchangeable, that's protected and safe, that is waiting there for them. And it's all in Christ. Lord, help us to focus our gaze on you and to remember this day that we have to look forward to when, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and will be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying. There will be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. That's our eternal home. That's what we have to look forward to. That's what the hope that is steadfast, directed, and fixed on Jesus, that's where it gets us to. If we can just keep going forward, if we can keep expecting God to work in our lives, to work all things for good, One day we'll be in that place where there'll be no pain, no tears, no sorrow, no death, no suffering, no second guessing, no shame, no disappointment, no waiting, because the waiting will be over. So, Father, we pray that right now as we go back into worship, that you would minister to the hearts of your children in this place. We thank you that you're a good, good Father that gives good and perfect gifts to his children. Today we ask that we receive whatever it is that we need, that only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.